Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Bronwyn Lucas, and I am the founder and executive director of Youth Empowered Solutions, or YES, as you'll hear me refer to the nonprofit throughout this presentation. YES is a nonprofit based in North Carolina, and I'll talk a little bit more about the work that we're doing in North Carolina and across many of the southern states. I also want to introduce Meredith Ledford, who's a colleague of mine who helps with a lot of this work, this presentation, and also recently soon to be published white paper on youth empowerment. And we have no disclosures. I'm going to start with giving an overview of the theory of youth empowerment that's based on research in the literature, some of the common definitions and terms of empowerment. Then I'm going to talk about the YES youth empowerment model. That's the theoretical framework that we've used for our youth empowerment policy work throughout North Carolina and the South. I'm going to share with you the application of our model and the approach that we've taken with YES. And finally, the impact of youth empowerment. So we found a way to sort of quantify what empowerment means and how you can measure when empowerment actually occurred. I wanted to share this quote by Mark Zimmerman, who's a professor at the University of Michigan in the School of Public Health. Reading it really quickly, empowerment theory connects individual well-being with the larger social and political environment and suggests that people need opportunities to become active in their community decision-making in order to improve their lives, organizations, and communities. This is an important quote because there's a couple themes that you'll see throughout this presentation, namely the intersection between individual and community when we talk about empowerment, and finally this idea about empowerment both being a process and also an outcome. So there's the process of empowering young people, but then also measuring the outcomes of an empowered individual. Again, in the research, there's sort of three widely agreed levels of empowerment that's been accepted, and there's some research to support this. There's individual empowerment, organizational empowerment, and community empowerment. Individual empowerment refers to young people or adults developing skills and awareness to effectively collaborate for the betterment of the organizations and communities. And it's interesting to know also that individuals can be both empowered or be empowering individuals. And I'm going to talk more about that as we continue. Organizational empowerment, the definition is entities that provide and benefit from the opportunity for youth or adults to acquire the skills needed to gain control over their lives, as well as entities that develop or influence policy decisions. Again, just like at the individual level, organizations can be empowering organizations or empowered. Empowering organizations provide an opportunity for people, and in this case for young people, to gain control over their lives. And an empowered organization is an organization that helps to develop and influence policy decisions. A really important thing to point out here as a note is the difference between the popular terminology positive youth development that some of you may be familiar with and youth empowerment. And I wanted to talk to you about the distinction at the organizational level between positive youth development and youth empowerment. The organizations that develop the individual and organizations that empower the youth become change agents in their communities are organizations that are empowering organizations. Youth development usually centers around developing the capacity of the individual, whereas youth empowerment has a focus on the greater community change that subsequently develops the capacity of the individual. So organizations that are providing services from a youth development framework usually don't address the social inequities, but rather develop an individual within an unjust society without addressing the source of the problem. So while a positive youth development organization might focus on building individual leadership skills or public speaking, youth empowerment would then, there'd be an application of that that those leadership skills or public speaking to see how that can impact the community. Community empowerment are efforts to make pathways for citizens to improve the community and provide for citizen participation at the local, state, or national level. Again, at this level of community empowerment, communities can be either empowering or empowered. An empowering community has the characteristic of access to resources, open government structure, and a tolerance for diversity, whereas an empowered community has characteristics of organizational coalitions, pluralistic leadership, and residents with participatory skills. An empowered community will have resources, funding, and coalitions and networks that provide opportunity for its citizenry to effectively bring about change through media, public advocacy, and grassroots organizing. And finally, in an empowered community, youth empowerment becomes an institutionalized expectation in which decision makers look to youth as valuable constituents, and as a result, the civic agenda begins to reflect the collective concerns, priorities, and the voice of young people. So all of that was sort of theory and background. Now we're going to talk about the organization Youth Empowered Solutions and how we've taken some of that theory along with some of the application and created our own youth empowerment model. So Youth Empowered Solutions is a 501c3 nonprofit organization where its staff is made up of young people and adults. This is a picture of the staff from a recent staff retreat. Our mission is to empower young people in partnership with adults to create community change. And we have a unique focus on creating youth-adult partnerships. And so our organization is not a youth-led organization. It's not an adult-led organization, but really does have a focus on creating these youth-adult partnerships for policy change. We also have a belief that, as with other disenfranchised groups, it's the responsibility of the dominant group to participate in power sharing in order for it to be successful. I'm going to try to show you a video.
Meet Yes. Yes is youth and adults working together for community change. Yes youth staff are regular high schoolers doing awesome things like public speaking, working with the media, gathering community support, and changing policies. Yes youth staff want all youth to do awesome things, so they train other youth, then those youth take action in their community, spreading the word about health issues, gaining community support, passing healthy policies, and changing their community. Awesome? Yes.
But wait, do youth kids have all the plans?
No.
Yes and all staff are ready to vote, helping each other do awesome things. Yes and all staff want all adults to help youth do awesome things, so they train other adults and provide support and resources. Then those adults can support a youth-driven movement where they share decision-making, ownership, and a vision for changing communities.
So that was something called stop frame animation, and that was something that one of the youth staff developed by doing drawing handwritten pictures and creating the illusion by taking a series of photographic frames, creating the illusion that it's moving. And it's just a really short, quick way to kind of explain what we do with Youth Empowered Solutions. This next slide is the Youth Empowered Solutions Yes Youth Empowerment Model. And like I said, it's a theoretical framework for all of the work that we do with Yes at the individual, organizational, and community level. And each of these components of the model is really critical, and I'm going to kind of talk about them as we go through: skill development, critical awareness, and opportunities. So the first component of the model, skill development, refers to the process of strengthening skills and knowledge to improve effective decision-making, positively interacting with peers, and acting as community advocates. Critical awareness is the process of identifying information and resources necessary for analyzing issues that affect the lives of the environment. And this can also, critical awareness can also be achieved by asking why questions. So, for example, and I'll talk about the health work that we do in a second, but one of our programs is called Real Food Active Living, and we do obesity prevention work. And so when we talk to a group of young people, the critical awareness piece is achieved by constantly asking these why questions. So they might be that at the individual level, a lot of teenagers or young people are now overweight, and then you ask why. And they might say, well, because we don't have healthy food in our neighborhood. And then you ask them why, to get them to start thinking, why don't you have healthy food in their neighborhood? And then they come up with a response, because our communities are really far apart. You know, we live in rural North Carolina, and I live 30 miles from the nearest grocery store. And then you keep asking these why questions. So they start sort of backing up from the issue of obesity being food and start thinking more about the infrastructure and access and all of the social and political context that kind of impact this issue. And then the final impact this issue and impact the system that this issue sort of lives within. And then the final stage or the final component is opportunities. And this is collectively participating in a process to impact their community. And the work that we do at YES is through sustainable and environmental change. So at YES, we work in these four health initiative areas. We apply our youth empowerment model in all four of these areas. The Real Food Active Living is the one I mentioned. That's our obesity work. Teen tobacco use, substance abuse, and we do that through prevention of underage drinking. And then finally, access to health care, and we do that through building and supporting school-based health centers. This slide has lots of information on it, and it shows our recent year's worth of data from fiscal year 12, which is July 1 through June 30th. The numbers that you're seeing here, this right-hand column, the total impact, kind of shows with each of the populations that we reach what are our exposure numbers, or sort of these high-level, sort of superficial impact. This looks at the number of people that have been exposed to our youth empowerment model. We do have 18 young people on staff. And so then what we do as part of the new hire paperwork, we collect demographic information on our staff, and we collect baseline data through our skills and experience inventory, ask them questions such as, before you were hired, what type of skills and experience did you have? And we have a whole list of policy advocacy kind of skills and experience that we list out. We ask them, have they taken any action? Or actually, at the end of a year of being employed with us, we ask them, have they learned any new skills? Have they taken any action, and have they impacted any policy, community, or systemic change? And then our trainings that we provide, we have youth trainings where our youth staff are providing training to other young people around the country on how to do policy advocacy work within one of those four initiative areas. And then we have adult trainings where our adult staff are training other adults on our youth empowerment model. And so as a result of our trainings, immediately after the training, we ask them, have they learned a new skill? And then we do a 60-day follow-up to ask the training participants if they were able to apply a skill that they learned as a result of our training. And then the one-year follow-up, have they been able to impact any policy or community or system change? So when we look at organizational empowerment at YES, this depiction is our rework of an organizational structure that we use at YES. And it was created to challenge traditional assumptions about the quality, nature, and usefulness of youth work. We've adopted a circular organizational chart that shows power, that shows how we share power equally to promote a cultural shift in the organization between youth and adults. In terms of our infrastructure at YES, 66% of paid staff are high school students, and 66% of staff are high school students. And YES believes in valuing the contribution that youth make by paying them. So these are high school students that are already intending on getting a job that need employment and have chosen to work in the nonprofit industry or in the public health sector for community change versus in the retail or the food service industry. We reflect the fact that we have staff on our organization, staff that are under 18, in both our policies and procedures, such as our liability policy. And in addition to the programming that the young people are part of, youth staff participate in fundraising, finance, our wellness team. They are our media spokespeople for the organization. They contribute to the media that we push out, our newsletters and our social media. We have a youth evaluation team, and they help with the development of organizational policies, and they serve on committees of the board. Additionally, we reserve two spots on our board of directors for young people between the ages of 18 and 24. And so those are young people that have graduated out of our program and that can provide some visioning and governance for the organization. Some more examples of the impact that YES has had on organizational empowerment when we look at some systemic changes. There's a list of impacts here, and I just want to point out a couple of them. This year at the Clinton Global Initiative's annual meeting that was in September in New York City, the Clinton Global Initiative committed to the topic of youth empowerment at its annual meeting as a topic dinner. And so that's through exposure and working with Youth Empowered Solutions in North Carolina. We were able to attend, and several of the youth were able to present on a panel on youth empowerment. This is the first time this had been done at the Clinton Global Initiative. Similarly, the Department of Public Health in North Carolina, in this latest round of funding, mandated that all of its tobacco contracts with the local health departments, and we have 100 local health departments in North Carolina, so all of those contracts mandated that they will take a youth empowerment strategy and use the YES model. And then finally, our North Carolina Statewide Substance Abuse CAB board recently instituted a youth empowerment subcommittee. At the community level, community empowerment happens as a result of individual empowerment and organizational empowerment, and YES believes that in empowered communities, those that intentionally engage all members of their community and strive to hear everyone's voice, it creates a more democratic society. So the policy work and skill development and the youth at individual change agents impacts the organizational organizations which make up the community. A couple examples of YES's impact on community empowerment, and these are policy changes that have happened as a result of young people and adults attending YES trainings. Again, there's lots of them, but I'm going to read a couple. 75 Georgia school districts adopted 100% tobacco-free school policies in 2010. 7 counties in Georgia adopt 100% tobacco-free parks and recreation. And then in North Carolina, tobacco use in public school was banned in 2008, and in 2010 it was banned from restaurants and bars. And these are all youth-led policies that happened as a result of our training. Additionally, the creation of a youth food council of youth from North Carolina was brought together in 2011 to advocate for policies impacting access to local food. A local community health center and a major hospital in Raleigh, North Carolina, commit to funding and resources for the establishment of a school-based health center in Wake County. And our ABC, or the Alcohol Beverage Commission, denies the naming right of a new amphitheater that was built in Raleigh, North Carolina. It was proposed to be named a Bud Light Amphitheater, and after some young people testified before the ABC Commission, it's now called the Raleigh Amphitheater. So in conclusion, youth empowerment is a multi-level construct, and it requires an understanding of individual adaptation, organizational development, and community life evolution. It's a basic tenet of public health to include the target population in the design of any intervention. And our model really grew out of the poor practice of adult professionals engaging policymakers and programmers and policy work without engaging young people, without having a youth voice. It's a natural fit in public health with the practice of community-based participation, but it also makes this arena receptive to the influence of youth empowerment. And this fit between public health and youth empowerment has been one of the reasons for the success of YES in the areas of healthcare access, obesity, substance abuse prevention, and tobacco use prevention. And while YES has been able to identify and quantify its youth empowerment impact at all three levels, the individual, organizational, and community, the understanding and appreciation of the effectiveness of the theory is missing from much of the research literature. But researchers hypothesize that as more organizations adopt youth governance into their culture and adopt a philosophy, a critical mass of research will develop. And finally, I just wanted to say that empowerment theory can be and should be expanded outside of the public health arena and incorporated to other spheres of public discourse, such as environmental, economic, and educational systems. Thank you.